Initially, he envisions an all-purpose fabricator, small enough to place on your desk, which would use the latest developments in lasers and micro-miniaturization with the ability to cut, weld, and shape any object that can be visualized on a PC. The poor in a third-world country, for example, could ask for certain tools and machines they need on their farms. This information would be fed into a PC, which would access a vast library of blueprints and technical information from the internet. Computer software would then match existing blueprints with the needs of the individuals, process the information, and then email it back to them. Then their personal fabricator would use its lasers and miniature cutting tools to make the object they desire on a tabletop. This all-purpose personal factory is just the first step. Eventually, Gershenfeld wants to take his idea to the molecular level, so a person might be able to literally fabricate any object that can be visualized by the human mind. Progress in this direction, however, is slow because of the difficulty in manipulating individual atoms. One pioneer working in this direction is Aristide Rakija of the University of Southern California. His specialty is molecular robotics, and his goal is nothing less than creating a fleet of nanorobots that can manipulate atoms at will. He writes that there are two approaches. The first is the top-down approach, in which engineers would use the etching technology of the semiconductor industry to create tiny circuits that could serve as the brains of the nanorobots. With this technology, one could create tiny robots whose components would be 30 nanometers in size using nanolithography, which is a fast-moving field. But there is also the bottom-up approach, in which engineers would try to create tiny robots one atom at a time. The main tool for this would be the scanning probe microscope, SPM, which uses the same technology as the scanning tunneling microscope to identify and move individual atoms around. For example, scientists have become quite skilled at moving xenon atoms on platinum or nickel surfaces. But, he admits, it still takes the best groups in the world some 10 hours to assemble a structure with almost 50 atoms. Moving single atoms around by hand is slow, tedious work. What is needed, he asserts, is a new type of machine that can perform higher-level functions, one that can automatically move hundreds of atoms at a time in a desired fashion. Unfortunately, such a machine does not yet exist. Not surprisingly, the bottom-up approach is still in its infancy. So psychokinesis, although impossible by today's standards, may become possible in the future as we come to understand more about accessing the thoughts of our brain via EEG, MRI, and other methods. Within this century, it might be possible to use a thought-driven apparatus to manipulate room-temperature superconductors and perform feats that would be indistinguishable from magic. And by the next century, it might be possible to rearrange the molecules in a macroscopic object. This makes psychokinesis a class 1 impossibility. The key to this technology, some scientists claim, is to create nanobots with artificial intelligence. But before we can create tiny molecular-sized robots, there is a more elementary question. Can robots exist at all?